Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks for joining me on my podcast, Tell Me Something Good About Retail, where I interview some of the best entrepreneurs and retailers and people who deal with retail in a new and exciting podcast format each week. So join me live here, or you can also find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. Let's get going. This week, I'm talking to LaDonna McCarron, co-owner of The Pantry, Nook & Cranny, and Rose & Alice Handcrafted Soaps in Portlaoise, Ireland. She talks about how Kismet allowed her to grasp opportunities and run with them. Don't be afraid to think laterally and trust your instincts when you're ready to buy. I know you'll enjoy this episode, so let's get going.
So LaDonna McCarron is my name. I have a couple of businesses in Portlaoise with Mark, my partner. I suppose the first little business that we have is a cafe. It's called The Pantry, and it's a business that we took over 4 years ago, not by design. It happened rather quickly, in fact. It was a place that we liked to go for a coffee ourselves. We felt very comfortable there and kind of had a few ideas about what we might do if ever we might own the property. And lo and behold, a few months later, it became ours.
Had you ever been in the restaurant business?
No, we didn't. No, my background is in hotel sales and marketing. Mark's an accountant. He's been in practice for most of his life. And so it was a real right turn for
these
us.
These are young people, by the way. Mm. These are not like 70 years old. It's not like they've had this long career of that. These are people like you and I who have just decided, I'm going to do something different.
Thank you, Bob. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me in a long time. It took on The Pantry, and we retained the staff, actually, that were there. There was a really super team there, which we had noticed, and we were very happy that they stayed on with us. So that was a really big help, bearing in mind we didn't know how to make coffee, run a kitchen, and do all the other multitude of things that come with running a food outlet.
So how did you succeed with that?
Well,
just true grit? You just said, we're going to find a way?
Absolutely. The team were superb. And it was a very quick learning curve from our point of view. I suppose the fact that Mark's an accountant was helpful because it enabled us to nail down KPIs very quickly.
And then you decided that wasn't enough, you had to buy a gift shop.
Yeah, well, when we were chatting with our customers, it became obvious that a lot of people were maybe leaving the town to go and find a gift when they had maybe a landmark occasion or a wedding or a
birthday,
something
or
special, something unique.
Okay. Well,
the kind of line that we heard quite a bit at the cafe, got to head off today, I'm going to Dublin, I'm going to somewhere local. I've got to get something special for, and maybe it was just a habit, I don't know. So we decided that we would open a gift shop that offered maybe gifts that you mightn't find on the high street normally, unusual gifts, things that might surprise you to find in a gift shop that traditionally you mightn't associate with a gift shop. So look, we were brave or mad, one of the two, I don't know. We're still in business, and we're in our fourth year now, so that's
a right
thing, yeah.
And then you had a supplier who decided to move back from Ireland to America, so
correct,
you weren't about to let that go because you were doing well with their soap. So what did you do with that?
Absolutely. Well, brave or even madder, we took on that business. That was a soap making business, a lovely little business, actually, set up by actually an American lady. Yeah, so she started making soap actually at her kitchen table. Started making the soaps at markets. When we heard that this soap was being made locally in Laois, we approached her and asked her would she consider having us sell it for her in her shop, and it was very successful. And unfortunately then she decided to relocate to the West Coast. She missed real estate, went back to where she was maybe more comfortable. She called to say that the business was going to be wound down, so we were distraught at that stage. And so were our customers. They really, well, I think they would have been. We didn't tell our customers. Mark and I were sitting at our own kitchen table one evening looking at a variety of other alternative soap providers from Ireland. And he looked across the table at me, across a mountain of soap bars and price lists, and he said, LaDonna, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And I said, oh God, I think I am. And he said, do you think we could do this? It can't, and the magic words, Bob, it can't be that difficult. At that point, I should have said, remember the time when we bought a cafe and we didn't know anything about running a cafe, and you know, it took us a while. But anyway, long story short, we purchased the business and learned how to make soap in the traditional way. Again, we retained a super member of staff that was working part-time with the former owner. We now make soap, distributing to 30 stockists in Ireland. But it's a fundamental part of what we'd like to do ultimately with the other businesses. It would make sense to have them in one location, and that's ultimately what
it makes a bigger destination and all
that. It does. And there's just a lot of synergy, natural synergy between a coffee shop and a gift shop, and then having and then the workshop nearby where the soap can be, you know, there's a little bit of theatre maybe going on.
So what do you think your biggest challenge has been in the last 3 years?
Finding time to sleep is certainly one thing. It's been a very, very busy time, but busy in a productive way. We're very energized by what we do. We love what we do.
You should all be able to tell that from the way she talks. She's she's like the number one cheerleader for this town, I think, Lynn Allison.
No, it actually balance and trying to prioritize. The difficulty for us hasn't been what do we do next or what have we any ideas. And that's not to say that it's we've reached our destination. We absolutely haven't. We're enjoying the journey and getting there.
Well, that's the key. You don't hate it.
Absolutely. No, we get up every morning and, you know, we're in good form and we know what has to be done most of the time. And we just don't have enough time to finish.
Right.
Before you know it, it's 6, 7, 8 o'clock and darn, gotta get something to eat. Get something.
Get a pint.
And, yeah, exactly. And we do that from time to time, of course. Yeah.
What do you think the greatest advice you ever got about your business was? Greatest business advice.
Do you know, I think that's an interesting question. First thing that comes to mind is to make an informed decision, but not to be afraid to think laterally. Not to make a decision just because it's safe. So I guess...
That's how you end up with a pantry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm sure with Mark's background as an accountant, he could have outlined all the reasons it didn't work.
Well, right. He certainly could have outlined all the reasons, all the risks we were taking. But he Mark's always wanted to work for himself, and he's got a good all-round business sense. He tends to be the shy and retiring person, where I'm, as you can gather, the little bit more
a little bit more out there.
So we complement each other a little bit in business, and then with obviously you can't do it on your own. We've retained and recruited further staff and retained a very good team, and that's helpful. You know, they understand what we're trying to achieve, and they're excited with us. You know, they've helped us to build our little business to where it is now.
Well, you were in big corporations. What from that were you able to take here that you think other business owners may not? Is there something that you took from your previous job that enabled you to be able to do this job so well?
Mark particularly had the transferable skills. In any business, I think you need an accountant. And I certainly couldn't have done that job. Never wanted to. Don't like that stuff.
No.
Icky stuff.
Yeah.
I liked the notion of selling to people and helping them reach a decision and understanding customer behaviour. And I liked that element. It was very similar in my previous job. I suppose I liked the challenge of closing a sale, fundamentally.
Wow, this is music to my ears, listeners.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah, and the whole element of customer relationship management. And I think that is... It would have been something that we did over a longer period in hotel world.
Sure.
Because we were working with people for years, and whether your journey in say the gift shop, for example, may be shorter, it's the principles are still the same. And I enjoy that very much.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you brought me here to Portlaoise. Why in the world did you guys think of bringing me to Portlaoise?
Well, funny story. Alison Brown, who is one of the owners of Jerry Brown Jewellers. Alison is, she's a neighbour across the road. Our cafe is opposite her lovely jeweller shop. And so we're part of the business community and we're pals. I hope she would say that as well. Alison and I, we have coffee meetings every now and then to discuss shoot the breeze and that. And One morning we were talking about we share information and things like that, and we were talking about have you seen this guy, the retail doctor? Oh my God, do you know him too? Yeah, he's fantastic. Did you see his blog this morning? Did you see his post? That was and because a lot of what you have been saying on your social media posts are totally relevant to us as, you know, a small business, and that's whether you're talking to a cafe or a gift shop or a jeweler shop. It's a customer facing environment. So we would compare notes on what we'd learned from you the evening before, which was great. And so we're both members of Retail Excellence Ireland, the Association for Retail Members. She came skipping down the street to me one day and said, guess who's speaking at the retailer retreat this year in Dublin? And I said, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet. Bob Fibbs, the retail doctor. And so I was delighted, we were delighted, and we decided there and then we were absolutely going again, and we were going to go for 2 days because Bob's going to be speaking for 2 days, so we'll get all the information to be sure. And she sent me over a cup of coffee. God, I don't imagine if we could get Bob down to Port Leash. And I said, yeah, imagine, wouldn't that be great? And that comment coincided with the establishment of a town renewal team, which we have set up just recently in Portlaoise. A group of, I suppose, like-minded people from all elements of the community, business, social community, parts of the community, and who really just working with local authorities, I suppose, just decided that, look, it's time to come together and try and make our town a better place to work, live, socialise, regenerate the town, essentially. I suppose we're fired up by that, and Alison and I are on the team, and we didn't even have an action after that. The next time I was talking to Alison, do you know, I sent Bob off an email, sure, what harm can it do? And I said, fair play to you, she rang me back then to say, oh, LaDonna, he's available to come. What are we going to do? So we approached our council and our enterprise office locally, and asked them for their support, outlined the benefit that we felt it would have for our business community, and they were on board very quickly. And then we set about telling our colleagues in business that Bob Fibbs is coming to town and you need to be there. This is something that will value us all.
And you had a huge audience.
Yeah.
People didn't think you'd have that many people.
No, they didn't. They absolutely didn't.
People think that they're all alone and, you know, that, oh, we couldn't do this. We get caught up in this. Well, we can't. But think of, it's kind of like the old story, you know, how many guys would walk up to the pretty girl and ask her for a date. And they'd be like, I could never get a date. But you never knew that. The chances were always 50-50.
Yes.
But we always made, in our minds, it was like, oh, it's 90%, not a possible. But it's always 50-50.
That's right, yeah.
That's the difference with an entrepreneur. It's like, you buy the pantry. It's like, well, it could go really great, could go bad, but at least we're even odds.
Yeah.
This idea of people realizing, like, it's up to us.
That's it.
You know, there isn't some they out there that's going to magically make it better.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, that there was, after your talk last night, there was tremendous energy in the room. And, you know, I felt that the doors of the conference room burst open afterwards, and it was like this flowing out of energy, and it was all, I could feel the buzz, it was tangible, it was, I and even with the people that I spoke to afterwards, they had all made mental notes in terms of what they were going back to their business to do, and you could feel that energy. And, you know, there's no point in having one or two people who are enthusiastic about making changes and continuously improving themselves. We need a whole community thinking the same way. And I felt last night that was very much the start of it. But the great challenge for us has, I suppose, adding another baby to the family, as it were, it has been a challenge. But because you want it to be instant and you want it to fit.
And you can't be in all three places at once. See, that's the hard thing.
That's exactly.
You want to. You're a hands-on person, I think.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. So I want to do it all.
So you have to trust that I'm not at the cafe. They can do the job.
Yeah.
She's not here. He can do the job. This podcast is called "Tell Me Something Great About Retail." So tell me something great about retail. What do you like about it?
I think I like the multitude of experiences that it gives you, the things that it opens you up to, like all the things you have to be a good retailer, or to try to be a good retailer. So you've got to have some element of an understanding of business, and it keeps you driving. It keeps you wanting to be better. I think retail, and we're relatively new to retail, just new to it in the last 4 years, but I think it's an exciting world to be in. It has its challenges, certainly. Yeah, yeah. It has, but I think there are answers to those challenges, and it keeps you looking for those answers. I like it for that reason.
I like that. Yeah.
You're not stuck
in the same place doing the same thing. Well, that's for sure. Every day is probably a little different.
Yeah.
So tell me a great customer story. What's a story that you were part of somebody's life in?
So I said to you at the outset that our gift shop, one of our missions was to be the kind of place that you came into and didn't really know what you might find. But hopefully you would know that we would have something that would be suitable.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a challenge because you're covering a lot of ground there. So anyway, with that in mind, when we were heading off to our trade fairs and to seek out new suppliers of unusual goods, quirky stuff and unusual things that you mightn't see anywhere else.
It's good quirky, by the way, not quirky. Yes. So I just had to say that.
Yeah,
that not dollar store quirky, just so we know.
Could have been lost in translation there. Thank you for that. So we found this company called Edge Sculpture. They make really unusual, beautiful sculpture, animal sculptures largely, hand cast out of clay, hand painted, really beautiful,
dramatic pieces. Yeah,
dramatic.
Yeah, I would agree.
And we were captivated by the stand, Mark and I, when we went to the fair, and came upon this company. And Mark picked up an orangutan sculptor, as you do. And I said, seriously, Mark, you know, where? I don't know. There's being out there, and there's being way out there in isolation. Is that the kind of item that you would expect to see in a gift shop? And he said, well, it caught my attention. It caught yours. We've spent the last 25 minutes here. I really like it. Let's go talk to them. So we went to talk to the representative on the stand, and she said the minimum order quantity was 10 pieces. Ooh. And it represented a significant investment on our part. And there was no negotiation on that. We went for coffee, as we do. That's the accountant. If it was me, I would have bought them there and then.
Right.
The accountant said,
wait,
exactly.
Be prudent.
Absolutely. One of them was a beautiful lion's head. Would remind you of the Lion King, and we bought it in that kind of colourway, kind of a goldy brown colourway. And I remember very well the first day the delivery came, and there were a huge amount of boxes. These are very precious pieces. They're all boxed up with polystyrene, and then another box outside of that. So the delivery itself was quite spectacular. And I thought, where are we going to store all these things? Took them out, put them on display, and I thought, oh dear God, please tell me we haven't made a mistake. And a week later, a customer walked into the shop and said to me, I adore that lion's head. How much is the piece? And I told him, and he said, I'll buy it. My best friend is the director of nutrition in Dublin Zoo. He's getting married in September, and that's perfect. And I just thought, wow, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. And then I thought, okay, how many other people that have relations that work in animal zoos are going to come? But that was maybe a year and a half ago. We've had 70 pieces through our shop since. So it was the right decision. And
these are fairly expensive for your area.
There's
nothing like them in this area, I don't think.
There are only three distributors in Ireland, actually,
in the whole
that
country.
Have that product. Yeah.
It's not a safe choice for a gift store.
It's not safe, but, you know, that's the whole thing, and it goes back to what I said earlier about the advice that I got was, if in your gut you feel something is right, it becomes a calculated risk, not a risk. It's a calculated risk. Well, once the accountant did all the financial calculations, but that worked for us.
Well, you know, it's like what we talked about. When I was here, we worked on windows with Allison's jewelry store, and we talked about how she needed a showpiece item, and that's what you really need for the window, because that's what tells people, like, this is my point of view, this is the kind of merchandise you'll see, pique your interest, like, let's go see what else. And that's really what you bought with your heads and all this, because they made a very dramatic statement.
They did, and they were a lovely piece for the window.
People talk about them.
They do indeed. And whether they like them or don't like them, they are a talking piece. I said to somebody that a man came into the shop recently who was just having his car serviced, as it turned out, at the local garage. And he came in and I greeted him, and he very quickly said to me, I'm just having a look around, my car's being serviced. And I said, that's quite all right, enjoy the browse, but have you heard the one about the guy that came in for a browse and left with a gorilla head? And he laughed, and we chatted, and he bought two cards that day and a candle for his wife, so it wasn't a bad transaction after all.
But see, you found a way to get to him. See, that's my thing.
Only because I looked at your blog and took your advice.
Oh my gosh, well, you're so gracious. You know, I talk about this, that the whole idea, if we just boil retail down to the basics, the thing that has to happen that first few minutes is the customer's got to say, I'm glad I met you. And once that mark, that box gets checked off, the world opens up. Because now you have a joke. Now, you know, you heard the one about the guy who walks in for nothing, ends up with a gorilla head. You've had to find a way in, you have a laugh, and now he buys something else because it's like, oh, I can relax, I like this. And then they feel like, I want to have that relationship again. I had such a good time with them. Yeah. I want to go back. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're getting to the end of our time here, but I think what you're really showing is an entrepreneur has this idea that, I think I can do this, believing in yourself enough and knowing that you'll figure it out. But then also being willing to say, I really appreciate that Mark is the one that said we should buy these, because both of you were taken, because you were both taken by it.
Yes, correct.
Right? Yeah, this isn't a logical decision, but look, we both, that gives us what we need. So here we are. Your friend has come to Port Leash. She's come to the pantry. She wants to talk to you. And she stops and she says, I'm thinking of opening my own store. What would you tell her?
I would tell her not to underestimate the task, because sometimes people that say that only see the they're coming at it from a customer point of view. They hopefully have had a very nice experience and they're thinking, what, I'd really love to have something like this. What they may not appreciate and what they come to appreciate is that in order to have that nice experience, there is an awful lot of work that happens underneath the surface. And it's the ability to do that kind of work and make that happen that is the question you need to be asking yourself. So I would just say to somebody try and learn as much as they can from other cafes or shops or outlets that they enjoy being in, and ask the frank questions. Ask the questions in terms of what realistically is involved, and if you feel that is something, if that's the challenge that you're up for, well, go for it.
I think that's brilliant. The idea of the difference between being a consumer in Arizona, I went to Sedona. There's a bunch of bed and breakfast for sale, all the time.
Yeah.
And you talk to a local real estate person, like, oh yeah, tourists come here, and they get all excited about the idea of being a bed and breakfast, and they want to buy one. And then once they start running, it's like, I don't want people in my house.
Yeah.
But that's the difference. Consumer, it's great.
Yes.
But the other side, there's a different thing. Know what the backside looks like. I think sometimes people buy into the dream of it as a consumer, and sure, it's nice to buy product until it's your product sitting on your sales floor and it's not selling, and then you're just looking at it every day feeling, you know, anxious.
Yes.
So as long as you understand that there's another side to it, I like that. It's a good thing.
I think you've covered everything, Bob.
Lovely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Just keep listening in. That I would say, to keep listening in to all of your social media podcasts and things. And I'm not saying that just because we're sitting here having a conversation. I mean that quite genuinely. I think for me and for Mark in our business, which is a small business, really, we employ 14 people. We're a small business, but to have access to the extent of advice, information, and sharing, we couldn't afford it, really, quite honestly. We get our bite-sized chunks every week, and it's made a real difference to us.
Lovely.
So, and you make the world a smaller place. That's terrific.
Yeah. Well, that's the best place I can think of to end it. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Tell Me Something Great About Retail. And until next time, it's the Retail Doc out.
Well, that does it for this week's podcast. I hope you'll join me next week when I get a chance to interview Paul LaPonte, founder of Quality Sewing, who has 13 locations across Washington State. Over his 35 years, he has come up with his own sales philosophy that it's all about finding a way to say yes, how a sale does not have a finite limit, and why one store does better than another. I know you won't want to miss it. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doctor. Please share the love and tell your friends to subscribe as I engage retailers to share their tips for growing your retail business. Find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. While you're there, you can find a transcript of this podcast. You can send an email to me at bob@retaildoc.com to tell me what you thought of this episode. And or you can leave a comment and share your experience right here as it relates to what we were talking about today. Again, I hope you'll tune in for another episode, and good selling.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.